Hello everyone. In today's episode of Dare to Begin, we have a very interesting personality with us. We have seen a lot of business leaders, entrepreneurs, and founders being part of this episodes. Today we have somebody special. Today we are not going to talk about financial projections, numbers, but we are going to actually talk about the reason behind all these numbers, that is people. So we have somebody who is specialized in handling the organizational resources, the key resources, which is human resources of any organization, and working along with them, mentoring them, and making them function at their best. So we have Mr. Senthil with us. He is known for getting leaders to their best by mentoring them, by helping them reach their productivity, increasing their productivity, infusing better HR policies in their organization, and making it more people-friendly. So he's somebody who has worked with hundreds of leaders in the country, who is actually in the key position in multiple different MNCs across the country. Welcome to the show, Mr. Senthil. So it's been a great pleasure for us to be part of this particular evening. So thanks for accepting our invite and being part of this show. So let me give a brief introduction about what do we do in this show. So here, this show is called Dare to Begin. So here we invite people who have dared to begin in their careers and took some strong steps or, you know, brave steps towards their career. Like, let's say an entrepreneur is somebody who would have faced a lot of difficulties in the early stage, but irrespective of that, somebody who has taken that step, dared to begin their journey, not just entrepreneurs, even business leaders, youngsters who come out to start something very new, and business leaders who quit their careers at, like, let's say 30s, 40s, or even some people in their 50s to start their entrepreneurial career or something which they really passionate about in their entire journey. So I see you in that particular path. You had a very successful career, corporate career, and from there you have pivoted your journey into a EQ mentor, emotional quotient mentor, life coach. So would like to know more about that. So sure. Can you share us the story about how did you dare to begin this entire journey?
Great. I mean, I think thank you very much in the first place, Arjun, for giving me a platform to talk about my background and my life story. Yeah, let me dive straight into that rather than getting into the, you know, the other paraphernalia. I had a very active corporate career, and very much I should say that this, you know, this field of human resources management, as they call it, is a very interesting piece, because still I do wonder as to why people behave the way they behave. After 30 plus years of experience, I still have that question in my mind very much. That brings me to the fact that what is it that we have been dealing with day in and day out in our careers, in our lives right through, whether it's family or it's personal side or the professional side, we are dealing with situations, human situations. Human situations brings along with it human feelings and human emotions. Now, we have all been qualified in our respective functions as chartered accountants or marketing specialists or production manufacturing specialists or system specialist probably. Well, that brings in a lot of functional competence to us in terms of our IQ levels, in terms of our intelligence domain with regard to a particular expertise area. But what is important to note here is, in all these areas, in all these functions, the common strand that goes across is people. It's through people that you get things done. When it comes to people, as I said earlier, every situation is a different situation. And every situation brings with it a play of emotions, a play of feelings. And I would say that I have realized, and pretty much through my career, as I grew more and more experienced, that if we don't manage the people side of the business, the financial side of the business will not come in the right place. The marketing side of business will not come in the right place, and so are other functions as well. If we get this people side of the business right, it's like an enabler. It's like an enabler of sorts to get your results. People skills, people-related situations, if well managed, they are the softer aspects of getting your hard results. Okay? The softer side of the business in terms of managing it is actually the tougher one. And once this is done right, getting the hard results is not very difficult.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, another thing which I read in your website is that you are known for your, in fact, your another name in the industry is Gardener of Career. So, Gardener Senthil is what people are calling you. So, could you brief about it? Like, I've also seen you're a Gardener of Careers. So, it's very interesting, right? Like, people would not connect both of it, but it actually caught my attention when I was researching about you. Can you put some light on that?
Actually, you know, it was, you know, way back about 10 years ago, I should say, when I began my career as an entrepreneur, right, stepping out of an active corporate career as such, I was just thinking about myself as to who am I really? What I've been doing in the past so many decades. To me, it was very important that as a HR leader, what is it that I consider myself as? What am I doing, actually speaking? I'm getting the right people into the organization who are the seeds who are really planted into the business.
Right.
Am I creating a right environment or a right culture? That's the environment that you have in terms of a fertile field, a soil that is very fertile to grow the seeds.
Right.
So do you create the right ambience with the right policies, right culture, working culture and right working practices? And for a gardener, when he sows the seeds, the right seeds, his joy comes out of seeing that the plants actually bloom, blossom, and that's where his joy comes from.
Okay.
And it's not only that, you need to do keep doing the nurturing the soil, nurturing the plants, and de-weeding has to be done at the right time, so the right people continue to remain in the system. Okay. And there is always this positive energy. So who am I? I'm actually a gardener. I'm a gardener of human minds. I call myself the human whisperer as well. In terms of the level to which you need to go through to understand what is the psychology behind this person's actions? What is actually happening behind her assumptions? So, whether it's man or woman, what is happening is the way in which the mind works, the way in which the outcome in terms of her behavior. Okay. So, I believe that I'm that person who is keen in getting the right positive thoughts into people's minds.
Right.
Be helpful in terms of actually nurturing a growth mindset and allowing them to really bring out their potential and reach the zenith of their careers. And that's exactly where I am in terms of why I call myself as Gardener Senthil.
Right.
I hope I've answered your question there.
Yeah, it's very interesting to... I have a lot of questions following that. But before that, I would like to set some context on our conversation ahead, like the next 30, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I would really want you to explain or put us into some awareness about what is emotional quotient or what is emotional intelligence, because a lot of people use it interchangeably for various other things in the world of HR or even in any kind of organization.
Right.
So I have, since our lot of our viewers are college students and people who are early into their first job or probably just in a couple of years into their career. So you are somebody who have worked with a lot of business leaders across the country in various categories, like where you are working along with them to empower them or scale them or make them to their best. While that is on one side of things, since I want you to direct the youngsters who are just stepping into a career, what is EQ for them and how it is going to be helpful for them when they are aware about where they are actually standing? Because a lot of terms, like even personally, I'm an entrepreneur running a business for the last 4 years. A lot of terms like empathy, curiosity, or even benevolence, thinking about others, stepping into somebody else's shoe and, you know, seeing things. So these are a few things as an entrepreneur I came to know by listening to a lot of podcasts or listening from a lot of mentors, right? But how it is important for somebody who is beginning their career? How it is going to transform emotional intelligence? How it is going to define somebody's path?
Before I come to the question directly, I need to answer a couple of questions myself and I want to throw it up to the table. One is, when do you think the IQ really, the intelligence quotient in which we write a lot of competitive examinations, we write a lot of entry level examinations and get into, you know, undergraduation or post-graduation courses, or even the entrance test in terms of campus placements for youngsters is all a lot around IQ, right? True. When does it really stop growing or continues to grow. IQ stops growing as per the research at the age of 21, 22. It stops. Your IQ level stops growing further at the age of 21 and 22. Okay. So which means when I get into a career after that, I can't add to my intelligence. The question there is, after 21, 22, what actually happens is you are not dealing with mathematical equations all the time right through your career. You're dealing with situations day in and day out, human situations. Now, this is where EQ comes into the picture and takes the place of IQ. In terms of dealing with people. Why people? Again, as I said, you are actually dealing with people's feelings and emotions. If I were to be let's say I'm a sales manager or a senior sales executive in a company, I need to manage my territory sales managers, territory sales area executives. True. Okay. I need to manage distributor salesmen. Okay. I need to go street by street managing all these people, basically. When I'm dealing with these people, let's say, for example, there is a guy who is completely, not following the rules the way one has to be following. Now, I can get very angry with this person. It's very natural, right? Now, there are two options. One is I can throw my fit of anger on him completely and, actually hit the, whatever out of him completely. Right. Okay.
And Most of us do that.
He may get demoralized. And he may probably have a word or two in the chastiest languages that he can offer to me and maybe throw his job at my face and then walk off. That could be one thing, that scenario that could play out. The other scenario is, I can call that person, hey Rahul, you know what? I didn't expect this out of you. When I recruited you, I knew that you had the potential, you had the intelligence and everything. However, what you have done, not only just yesterday, but to the whole of last 1 week, I don't think it is you who is actually doing it. Something has happened. Is there something wrong? Is there something that I have missed out in terms of my noticing and what's happening in your life? Now, I'm here to listen to whatever you may say. But I tell you one thing. This behavior is not acceptable to me at all. In both situations, it's anger. But I have made it in a very constructive way. I have displayed or demonstrated my anger and disappointment with the person. The second situation. That's what EQ is all about. EQ is about, how do you constructively deal with all your emotions? Okay. Not only your own emotions, but those of others around you. It could be your family members, it could be your colleagues, it could be your friends. How do you constructively deal with your own emotions and those of others? And anger is an emotion. Depression is an emotion. Joy is an emotion. Disappointment is an emotion. Frustration is an emotion. How do you deal with frustration? I can get frustrated and, I can say, what the hell, yeah, nothing is going to work in this place. I'm going to sit and rot in this place. And I can continue to wallow in my negativism and continue to extend that negativity to all others who are, working with me and not really rising myself up to the best level of my productivity. Now, that's not going to help anybody. This is where a person understanding and developing their EQ will be able to be in a better position to constructively deal with their emotions.
Okay.
It could be either impulse control or even interpersonal relationships or, optimism. All these are parts and factors of emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Your ability to deal with these aspects is going to define your success in your career, in your life, in your relationships.
So how would the opposite person work? Because you have given me an angle from the manager, how the manager need to handle the candidate, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Consider like that person who has messed up is somebody who has joined the job in the last, let's say 1 year or 6 months into his first job, sales job, but not able to perform. How he should be handling this? So is EQ or is it something only for the managers and the leaders, or is it for somebody who is as in the executive level? Like how that person should be trained to be EQ enriched guy?
Absolutely. Great question, because, there's always the other side of the party, which is the executive you're talking about. Now, here, let us say a same situation where a boss is angry at me for various reasons. Okay. Now, he really, scolds me. He is completely mad at me and he calls me whether I'm worthless or whatever it is. Now, when he's saying all these things to me, I can also retort back because I'm also getting very emotional as he's talking to me.
Right.
How EQ will come into his advantage is when he's able to deal with his impulse in a more constructive way, the impulse to talk back, the impulse to shout back. If he has got his EQ levels in the right place, then he'll be able to control his impulses, delay his, you know, his response to his boss.
Okay.
And by that, by delaying that, he would have probably behaved in the best possible manner at that particular moment. And then probably choose the right time to actually call his boss aside and say, "Sir, I actually want to speak to you. Can I have a word with you, please?
Okay.
I need to share with you a few things which I'm going through."
Okay.
That actually helps the situation much better. Okay, number one. Number two.
Delaying the situation.
Delaying the response to a situation.
Okay. Delaying the response.
Delaying my impulse to act or say anything upfront like that.
Yeah.
In a jiffy.
Because a lot of youngsters, they say, because I have also come across, because we are a young organization, our average size of our, like age of our team is like probably 26, 25.
Okay.
I have seen a lot of people like, you know, Gen Zs, like the people like in their early 20s,
yeah,
phenomenal talent, like especially in the marketing sector, they kind of understand the pulse of the people. Like, for example, in next 5 years, the 75% of the mass consumption mm-hmm. is going to be from the Gen Zs. There are people who are born after 2000. So in a situation like that, I don't think so a better marketer than a Gen Z himself, because they know the things better.
Correct.
We have got a lot of great ideas and work delivered by them. But at the same time, they are very impatient. They want instant gratification. I mean, let's say if there is a hard day where a manager need to tell them, "Hey, you are wrong and this is not the way you should work. This is the way probably you should be doing things." A lot of people I've come across, I mean, of course, I've seen different kind of people, but in general, they are not taking it like, okay, this is the way I do. Like, this is some sort of mentality. I've spoken with other entrepreneurs also. But they don't take the things very to their heart, and they are not going into depression or sadness. Instead, say, "Hey, I don't want this job. I'll go to some other job." This is something predominantly there, because especially when somebody who think they are talented, because then there are a lot of jobs around the market.
Yeah.
If it is not this company, I'll go and apply for some other company. While having that confidence is great. What do you think about this mentality? Like, is it really good, or is it something the organizations need to change by understanding the young people, giving them different kind of feedbacks? Because this is something I have observed from multiple different entrepreneurs, like my colleagues who run other companies. They also come across, because hiring is definitely a great major problem. People problem is problem across every single organization.
True,
you
true.
Must be knowing it
yeah,
better. So
yeah.
In a situation like this, where a lot of young people are coming into any organization, how do you think the organization need to relook at the way they do their performance reviews, or overall, like the way the feedback loops happen? So what do you think about?
I think, you know what, in the first place, we need to take the generation and accept as they are, number one. They are what they are. What can we do about that is the question. Okay, and that's a question that you're asking
yes.
me, right? When I'm in this arena called emotional intelligence, one of the things that we need to really be clearly noting here is that in the college and in the education institutions today, taught a lot on their functional skills and functional knowledge,
true.
But very less on life skills, okay? And EQ is a life skill which helps you not only in your professional life, but also in your personal life. Mm-hmm. So to me, the induction and orientation of people should not only be to their work, to their job and what they are supposed to do, but also about what can help them to carry out the job in a much better manner, in a much more balanced manner. So your induction and orientation program should always have kind of a, I wouldn't call it training, but more importantly, an awareness and a sensitivity training towards various aspects of the emotional challenges that one can expect in a work life. Okay. Sensitize them first towards it. See, these are the kind of scenarios that can happen.
Okay.
So that is one area. Second area is actually once they are into the system, help them to understand this concept of EQ much better so that they are able to develop their own EQ skills day by day and month on month and year on year. So they start growing in their own maturity and maturity levels basically. When I talk about myself, I have grown in my EQ, I do not know, over a period of so many years. Today, the concept and, you know, the kind of programs that are available for EQ, I think people can really be taught that. People can be made to develop these things. And the best news, good news is you can actually learn EQ up to the age of 70 plus. You can develop your EQ skills. And that's what it is. So I'm just saying induction and orientation, challenges, workplace challenges, and how EQ can benefit them is something that you can sensitize them to. And actually do programs that can help them develop their EQ. Assessing their EQ levels, diagnosing what is the level of their EQ, looking at the gaps, and seeing how they can actually help them bridge that gap. Okay. It's something like your IQ, you know, which you start developing in your school days and college days. Similarly, EQ can be developed over a much longer time. And there are excellent tools available to measure, diagnose, and then use coaching to help them to grow in that. I would say that that is something which is now becoming a very, very important aspect of how you induct Gen Z into the system, help them to really navigate the challenges in their careers very much.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Since you have talked about the coaching program, like let's say EQ is very similar to IQ, can you just give a very layman introduction of this is IQ and this is what EQ is? Like, can you give like a comparison?
Okay.
So that any common person can understand and how they can differentiate.
So
this.
When I say IQ, it is saying that, you know, a cause or a cause and a symptom, cause and effect. Okay. Suppose I heat this particular liquid beyond a certain temperature, it will become vaporized. The cause is heating up the liquid and it's going to get vaporized is the effect. Okay. This is a straight science come logical, process that happens. Okay.
Agreed.
Now, if you have your IQ, you can understand this better. Let's look at a situation where a person who's coming to the office is disinterested in the office.
Okay.
Now, I can't say he is disinterested because he is getting a low salary. Need not necessarily be the reason. There can be n number of reasons to why the person is disinterested in a job.
Okay.
Okay. You need to talk to him and understand to him to go about in firing, in finding what's the story behind that story. Disinterest is the symptom, but the cause can be anything. It can be anything relating to the personal side. It can be anything relating to the social side. You do not know unless you understand. So there are no logical straight answers.
Okay.
Now, EQ helps you to be able to empathize and be able to understand the story behind the person's life. Understand the story behind the background of why he is behaving the way he is behaving. So they are not straight-jacketed answers. They have a lot of connecting reasons as to why a person is disinterested in a job. Unlike saying that, you know, he's doing this because they said that this is a condition for his promotion. Then that's a very straight-jacketed reason. But since many situations where there are challenges for people, like, you know, they're facing because they're frustrated, they're demotivated, you need to understand what exactly is the problem. And for which it requires a lot more of interaction with that person, empathize with the person, get to understand the story, and then figuring out the causal relationship with the outcome that you are experiencing with that person in the workplace.
Okay.
That's how it, you know, to me, I think IQ gives you straight-jacketed answers towards situations, whereas EQ has to be something which you need to deeply explore, understand, and then only come to some conclusions. And that is what is many a time workplace challenges is all
right.
About. It's not straight-jacketed. With people.
Okay. So I would, just extending from the same scenario, like let's say, of course, as a recruiter or a leader, mm-hmm. A manager, who understood that, okay, they go to a person who has some problem and they empathize with them. They kind of bring out, probably they understood the answer. So what after that? Because as a leader, you have some business target goals to be achieved on one side.
Yeah.
And probably you have investors pressure that, you know, you have to extract. At the time like that, right, you know, how do you build a culture where you are empathizing your every last employee? Because it's two ways, right? Like, I mean, an organization is providing you a set of resources, a salary, a lifestyle to solve certain tasks that you are meant to do, right?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times employers' problems are not discussed because an employer or an entrepreneur go through a different kind of problem while
correct.
Probably
yeah.
Employee is facing, like, let's say a salary issue or problem from their efficiency or something like that. So how do you, this kind of situation be addressed? Like, to what extent this empathy can go? Like, is there a way where we tell, okay, this is what I'm going to do? Like, now my next step, I will tell you, okay, you do go ahead or like find
yes.
something else. Like, how does it work? At really? What level somebody should take a thing? Because attrition rates is another
yeah.
major problem in many startups. even because you hire somebody who's experienced, like let's say startups usually face this problem. Founders who come up with a great idea, probably they get a seed funding and they bring in some experienced guy who will solve that particular problem. Founder's vision is something and they kind of do some interview process and get a person to handle it. Like let's say here, the vision is from the founders, but execution is going to come from like, let's say a vice president finance or vice president HR who is going to solve the problem. But in a scenario where, especially in a cities like Bangalore or Chennai, where a lot of startups are booming, founders are usually younger and there is a management team, senior management team, which is much experienced. So now I observe a lot of clash happening between founders and the senior management in terms of setting up their processes or operations. Mm-hmm. So how do this situation can be addressed? Like you bring in somebody, but the founders are the basic speculation between the senior management and the founders, how they can address this problem? Because most of the times they're inexperienced to give them technical direction. But at the same time, they might feel that this is not right. Like probably they might think this is not the way they're expecting the output to be, because it's their business at the end of the day. So how does EQ play a role there? Like how can both of them coexist and...
Let's put it this way, Arjun. You know, we are here for a common purpose. An organization is there with a common purpose, which is there are some targets, there are some goals to be achieved, and I'm being hired to take care of those aspects of the goals which I need to deliver. Now, these are not negotiable. But what should be understood is the story to get there is something that is made up of an individual's background, the organizational background, and the processes and system that govern all these things. Okay. Now, I can go and talk to a person. You spoke about a Gen Z person whom I need to empathize and all that. But, you know, I can do a lot of empathizing. But at the end of the day, we're not going to give me results.
Nice.
My organization is going to suffer. My business is going to suffer. That's why I'm saying there are some red lines out here. Now, it can't be at the cost of your deliverables in terms of your roles. Those things need to happen. But how can I help you to make that happen? What is it that I can do within the framework of my policies and my understanding? Is there something that I can do to help you? I can be there at the back, you know, I can be shoulder to shoulder to help that person get over a certain challenging situation.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he or she needs to deliver. That is non-negotiable. We need to be very clear on that front. You know, we cannot say, no matter what, at any cost, you need to perform and get the results. I don't know, want to hear anything about you. Then, you know, then that's where your EQ fails. But if you are a person with EQ, you always get to understand what is it that makes this person tick, or what is it that is holding him back from performance? Is there something that I can do to help him or her towards making him a better performer? Enabler. We are all enablers of performance, not just tracking and evaluating performances alone.
Okay.
We need to enable performances. We have to give that enabling atmosphere to people so that they believe that they are being supported, they are being understood. But they should be very clear that they have a role to play in delivering their goals. That is not negotiable.
So this major problem of young founders managing their senior leaders or vice versa. So how do you think this situation can be addressed? Like, have you come across a problem where...
I have indeed come across a problem where a young co-founder of an organization, of a startup, was... completely, he was livid, saying that, no, my CFO actually is, you know, playing with my emotions so much. I can't just tolerate whatever he is talking about. He is so aggressive. And I feel like just giving it back to him and then and there. And every day we have an argument, every day we have a conflict. Now, this is a live example. And one thing that I felt was the young co-founder really has to understand that his CFO comes with some very... I mean, I know the background of this whole company.
Okay.
So I know that the CFO has actually come in with the most relevant experience to this particular industry that he is in. And he needs to give weightage to understand what he's talking about very clearly. And he brings with him the latest understanding of the accounting system that need to be, you know, implemented so that they are in compliance with a lot of regulatory stuff that is there in the business.
Okay.
Now, these could be challenging because now you're a new organization, so people may not be aware of following certain rules and regulations. All that may be there, but then you can't reject what a CFO is talking about. So, really feeling bad about the challenge that is there before you in terms of implementing a system, are you really understanding him as to where he is coming from? Are you also trying to, you know, not be reactive to whatever he says? You said that he was mentioning to me that there was a lot of arguments, a lot of unpleasant, you know, tit for tat that was happening because he was very impulsive and he gave it back to him and stuff like that. I think this is exactly the place where he needs to really work on two aspects of emotional intelligence. One is his impulse control, another is his stress tolerance. Both these factors are actually playing hell with a young co-founder. Okay. That's one. When you come to the other side, the CFO side, does he have the empathy for this person as to where is he coming from? Has he understood that the co-founder is grappling with the aspect of execution challenges of what he is talking about? If he is able to understand that aspect of it better, he can probably give him a solution around that. Which means that, does he listen and understand where the co-founder is coming from and help each other that way to stay over the situation, which is a common challenge after all for the business.
Right.
So empathy from the side of CFO, impulse control and stress tolerance from the side of the co-founder.
Right.
These are the two things that are playing.
So there are specific terms that you are
specific
mentioning.
Terms. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll talk to you about it. In fact, that's why this whole EQ is about some very clear factors that go on to determine your level of emotional intelligence. We need to pinpointedly be able to diagnose where the problem is, which factor is contributing to this challenge.
Is there any scale or is there any way of measuring or is there any way to probably internally HR teams training their team to get better at?
I mean, I think, you know, it starts like with any other, aspect of a company. It's about assessment and diagnosis of EQ levels of its employees, particularly the senior management. Today, you find that many organizations run EQ tests for recruiting senior management people into their organizations.
Right.
They find out what are the EQ levels of this person. So, which means there is an exact score. There is not only a total score on EQ. But this is all based on certain concept or a model called EQI 2.0. And as per this model, there are about 15 human factors that are responsible and contributing towards EQ. I'll give you some examples.
Okay.
Your level of self-esteem or self-regard that you hold about yourself. Your emotional self-expression. How do you express your emotions? Your impulsive nature. Your problem-solving abilities in terms of where emotions are involved. How are your problem-solving abilities where emotions are involved? It's not about a technical problem. You can unbug a certain issue. It's not about a technical issue. It's about if emotions are involved, how are you really able to solve a problem? Somebody is saying, I want to go ahead with this idea. Somebody is saying, no, for these reasons, you cannot go ahead with the idea. So both are very passionate and emotional about what each one of them are saying. So how do you solve this problem? It's not about what it is technically, right? So, you can assess the person's exact EQ levels, give it a score, understand where the scores are falling below par and see that, you know, these are the, identify the areas where, like for example, it could be impulse control, it could be flexibility, it could be stress tolerance, it could be optimism, it could be, emotional self-awareness, it could be assertiveness, it could be empathy. So, there are 15 such factors. So, when you understand which are the ones which are the person's strengths, which are the ones which are the weaknesses, based on that, you can train the people on those areas. You can actually coach the senior people around those areas. And I can give some concrete examples around that. How okay. There was this company where, manufacturing head of the company was seen to be a person who was a good leader by himself in terms of managing his manufacturing operations.
Okay.
But when it comes to leadership team meetings, he doesn't talk a single word. He doesn't speak much.
Okay.
So people do not know what is it that he has got in his mind. He manages his team well. That's about it. But there are no ideas coming from him. He speaks very less in the team meetings. So the management was saying this person has grown within the company. He is good. But we do not know to what extent he can grow further because he doesn't talk much.
Okay.
So can you please come in and help? Because we have a feeling that he has got potential, but we do not know exactly because he doesn't speak much.
Right.
So when I came in, I started this coaching session for this person. His EQ levels, we found that his self-esteem was very, very low. One of the factors which was low was self-esteem. So I go into the life story of this person to understand why the self-esteem is very low. He comes from a very, very rural background. That's where he studied. Very, very normal, you know, upbringing for him in a very remote village of the state. And he's done his schooling in Tamil medium, and after that he went for his college. So everywhere, though this boy has been very intelligent, his ability to speak up because of language issues, because of where he was coming from and seeing others coming from different other backgrounds, he felt that he is a little lesser compared to the others. So he has always felt that whatever he is asked to do, he will do it very well.
Right.
Other than that, he doesn't really come out and speak about it.
I think this is a major problem in a lot of companies, and I think the similar profile I can probably imagine in multiple different,
right,
my previous organizations or even in my own company, because
right,
a lot of people who are exceptionally talented when it comes to work, but they're not able to put themselves out. So
correct,
how did you address that problem?
Good. So what I did was I really could discover and understand that this is the real issue. Okay. Now the question is to challenge the person and to first of all ask him, where did he find himself really doing very well during the school days? Actually, this boy has done very well in the sports. He has done very well in various other activities. He scored the number, first mark in 3 subjects in his board examinations, school topper and all that. Now, first of all, making him recall all these things where he had really been feeling very proud of himself was an aspect to revalidate the strengths that he has got in himself. Okay. Second point, I had in fact asked him to name a few people that he has come across in his life who are all from rural background, but who have done well for themselves in their lives. He could quote his own uncle. He could quote a few others, even his own classmates, who have now gone on to become some great guys in Bombay. So on reflecting and thinking about it, he himself came out with those things. So the question here is to challenge his belief system.
Okay.
Your belief that coming from a rural background, I cannot really compete or I cannot really participate in a forum where people with other better backgrounds, other urban backgrounds are available.
Right.
To challenge that belief and making him understand that actually truth is not that. Actually, it's not so. It doesn't come there at all. It doesn't make any meaning at all. So why can't I speak out?
True.
So to challenge his self-belief in that and then make him come out of it is what this journey of coaching was all about. So the one factor on which I was working on him majorly was raising up his self-esteem by challenging his self-belief system, his limiting belief system. They were limiting him from flowing fully.
Okay.
So identify the limiting belief, challenge them, plant a new belief in his brain to say that this is now how I'm going to be believing in what I'm going to be doing right through my professional career.
I believe there are processes and coaching system to
yes,
execute.
Absolutely. So we go through an action plan, we go through a developmental strategy for, you know, raising up his self-esteem. We make him do certain things on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And keep tracking it very clearly in terms of how his experience has been by, you know, putting those things into action. So that's how we come out of it.
A lot of this problem, I think, majorly comes from the soft skills aspect, because I've come across a lot of people, I think a lot of people can relate to this also, where language plays a major role. Where somebody who is as fluent while conversing, like in English, or confidently, quoting some, you know, complicated words to sound
yeah,
really professional,
yeah,
not able to present themselves well in probably meetings, conferences. So this is a common problem that I've come across a lot of talented people, just because they are not able to put themselves. And a lot of people have taken a huge amount of their time, like let's say 5 years, 10 years to come up and prove themselves. So how is that addressed? Like, how can somebody train themselves to be great at communication?
So one important thing here is, there are two aspects. One is, what is holding you back internally? And what are the specific skills that you need to really put yourself out there? Okay. Now, one is to, as I told you earlier, there is something in his past background which is holding him back from really speaking up. That's one aspect, which is what we do in coaching, to identify those aspects and be able to challenge those beliefs around those aspects and make them come out of it. That is from a belief level, at a belief level.
Belief level, yes.
Next thing is to practice the certain skills of speaking up. Now, two things here. One is, if it's language, there are umpteen number of, for example, let's take English. English as a language today, okay? I know for sure that Hindu as an organization, Hindu, the newspaper magazine house, has got an excellent spoken English scores for business people who are typically coming from this. They have very practical oriented courses which they are offering, number one. Number two, British Council also has very good courses, programs for practicing executives. Okay. Now, these are all at the training level to make them practice and practice and practice. Okay.
The belief system, and you change you internally, like by believing and then training.
Which means I'm ready. You give me the training and I'm up for it.
Okay.
Many people are not even there. Okay. They are still scared. They hold the fear. They hold the belief that, no, I can't do it.
What other people might think.
Fear of judgment, fear of failure, fear of being evaluated, fear of embarrassment in front of a huge people, set of people. All those things are holding them back. That is what we help them come out of it through this EQ coaching.
Okay.
And then these trainings help them. Public speaking. If you were to address, I could be a head of a function. How am I going to address my team at a large town hall meeting? I have to stand up before set of 30, 40 people or even more, much more than that. So public speaking programs.
Do you think these can be addressed in college level or school level? I know a lot of institutes are taking this as priority in training their students, especially in tier 2 and tier 3 people, because that's where people usually face this kind of problems.
Correct.
So do you think this can change in institutional level, in colleges, the way things are happening, and how youngsters can train themselves? Because I feel a person who is confident with right attitude can probably stand ahead of somebody who is more talented. This is what I believe. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I've seen people who are really confident and having right attitude to approach a problem always stood ahead than people who are actually talented with right skill but unable to have that attitude, right attitude.
Absolutely. You just hit the nail on the head. Having the right skills, right knowledge, but wrong attitude is equal to zero in terms of applicability to a work situation. Because if you don't have the right attitude, then you just can't perform right. And you will not be able to move ahead in terms of making meaning to your company, to your role as well. With the right attitude, you can learn knowledge, you can learn things. You'll always have the curiosity to learn things. You'll always have the curiosity to do well, that penchant to do well. That right attitude can be, accommodated, can be welcomed into an organization. Because you can always teach them the right knowledge and the right skills. But if the attitude is not there, you can't help it at all.
But how it is, how that attitude can build up?
How do you build attitude?
Yeah, how do we do that? Because most of the people are underconfident, especially students who are who have not done any, according to them, they have not achieved anything. Probably a top layer of 5% of a classroom. Who have attended a lot of conferences or gone to a lot of competitions, who know how to present themselves, they're always on the top of the layer, they sail through. But the people who got good, even grades, but not really able to crack it in the final round of an interview to impress the employer, so how they can train themselves? What is your tips in a college level, how they can... let's say somebody who's spending 3 years, 4 years in their college period. I believe a lot of our viewers fall in that category. How they can be ready for the session, panicking at the last moment.
That's right. So one other thing that can be done for them is to really help them to go through mock interviews and mock group discussions. Okay. When you do a mock group discussion or a mock interview, a simple question that anybody will ask in an interview, especially for the graduates who are getting into the corporate world for the first time, tell me something about yourself. Tell us something about your background. Who are you? These questions. Now, you do not know where to start, what to speak about, all that thing. Plus, you also got a language issue.
Right.
Okay. For a moment, let's assume that he does not have a language issue, at least he can speak. But he does not know where to start and where to end and what to highlight. So he says something, but that's not enough. So the first training that such mock interviews helps us, what we do is to help them to really write down their life story. They come from this family background. My parents were teachers. They were working in this school. I belong to a family of five. And my sisters are, you know, whatever it is. And we believe a lot in terms of really helping each other, even in the farm as I was growing up. So that has brought a lot of, a family level involvement in what we do. We believe that we all must work together, irrespective of what the hardships are. So I have learned to face challenges from that point of time. I used to study, I used to come back in the evenings and help my father do this or help my mother do this. What are those aspects of your lifestyle that you have been in your upbringing that you would like to highlight, which will bring out some aspect of you? I can be a good team player. I can be a person with the right attitude about life also. That is something which I can showcase. By the way in which I grew up in my village, I can showcase many of these things. So help the person to draw out a life story that highlights the right aspects about the individual. So once he got that life story in place, he can understand. Now, this is where it is. Now, he needs to practice talking about that. Then the practice sessions are done.
Okay. So, crafting a story about yourself. Like
exactly.
Define it and probably highlight your strengths. Bring out your characteristics out of your life. Like, let's say, as you quoted, somebody who is from a village background.
Correct.
Crafting the right story is all
very, very important. And crafting the right story and being able to really present it in the way in which people will be mighty impressed by the kind of salient features your life has already had.
Right.
And that's where it is. It's all about communicating yourself out there.
Right. So I would like to quote my personal experience here, because when I was in my interview, I work for ITC initially. Mm-hmm. So there, I was not really sure like why they've selected me, because then after a while, like I was thinking about how my interview process was, because most of my interview session at that point was very stress focused, right? Like they're giving me a lot of stress. It was a stress interview. Probably I think it was going around 40, 45 minutes. They have given me a lot of scenario. They have asked me randomly do certain things. Down the lane, after 15, 20 minutes of my interview, I realized I got awareness that, okay, this is not a regular interview. There's something they are doing with me, but I just went with the flow. I didn't think much about the result, actually. Mm-hmm. I think this can help a couple of people where just understanding the scenario where the interviews are coming from. Mm-hmm. Because most of the times what happened, like the students panic about getting a job. But the point most people forget is that the recruiters are sitting there for a reason, because they need you more than you need them. Like it's actually equally, right? Like employers also need you. Many a times, I think students don't see that point. Like they only think that, okay, they only need the job. So the point is, if you are capable enough, or if you are actually putting you in the right light, and if you're able to present yourself well, probably they will get impressed, because a lot of people were not able to tackle that stress interview. I think more than technical interviews, because I know I have not given 100% right answers in my technical round. But I think I would have impressed them in the way I handled the stress. I think this is where a lot of people get panic. I think
true, very
that's
true.
Something
absolutely.
I wanted to quote here.
Very right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So the youngsters, basically the people, like let's say you get a job, you enter into a role. How you can impress, or how you can actually climb up the ladder very fast, because I know you have worked with a lot of C-level executives of many organizations, corporates, and I've seen not every organization the hierarchy level is like very step by step. Like, you know, if you are actually capable enough, there are organizations you take up the ladder very fast.
True.
If you're really
you're on a
fast track. Like the growth is not always linear, it's sometimes
correct.
It's exponential.
So yeah,
what do senior level people look at junior level people? Like, how can somebody demonstrate that leadership skills so that they can progress fast?
So two things here. One is that, assuming that you are a capable person, you're doing well. Many people who are doing well at that age, they don't talk about themselves at all. They don't make themselves visible in the organization.
Visibility, okay.
Creating your own visibility is very, very important. People should know, other than your boss may talk about you or may not talk about you. But you need to talk about yourself in today's world.
Right.
It's not that you're talking something out of imagination. Talk what you do, but do it at the right time. For example, You know, I used to work in a place where I was in the 15th floor of a building complex. Our corporate office was there. And mornings, I used to meet a lot of youngsters in my company who are, you know, coming along with me. Many a time, I will ask them, so how are things? What's happening? What's exciting in your role? In that 45 seconds or 30 seconds that we are going to go up between the ground floor and whichever floor we are going to be getting out of, they will tell headlines, or at least four headlines they will say clearly. So we are at this project now. The project is actually, you know, we're going to complete it 1 month in advance before the deadline. And it has been something which the Germans have appreciated so well. Quick, tuck, tuck, tuck. They'll give those four headlines. This is what is called as an elevator pitch. In the elevator, can you really, in a matter of 45 seconds, compress it to tell the person with whom you're coming? It could be a managing director, it could be a CHRO, it could be a CFO, it could be anybody. But you are just the two of you.
Yes.
And you will have that occasion to talk about. Then that will ring a bell in this person. You know what? The other day I met so-and-so. I met Rakesh. You know, he told me this. Is he in your team? Oh, that guy was fabulous. Huh? He told me that, you know, he's on this important project and they've done well. Now, this is what is creating visibility. Being able to really tell the right things at the right place, the right people, I think is very, very important. That's one. Second thing is, always put up your hand for any new initiative that is coming up in the organization.
New initiatives.
Where I'm ready to take on responsibilities. I want to take on responsibilities. And not only that, I'll be an initiator and a completer. Whatever I take, I'll ensure that the dots are connected and they are completed. No, I've done this. That's my job. No. The guys who ensured up to the last step, I'll follow up. I'll talk to whoever is required to be done. I will go do whatever is required to make it happen. I think these are two characteristics that one would really can demonstrate for them to really grow faster in the organization.
Amazing.
That's it.
Right. Visibility and take initiative, complete the initiative. Have you come across, I'm quite sure you would have come across a lot of people in your personal life, and you look up to certain leaders who are great in terms of EQ, emotional quotient, like across categories. I would like to know, I would probably want to throw across a couple of industries. Mm-hmm. I want to know who comes to your mind and why are they very special?
Let me try an attempt.
Okay. So, sports.
In sports, undoubtedly, it's MSD,
okay.
MS Dhoni. And MSD is clearly the epitome of emotional intelligence. To me, he is a book by himself. And today, I think many people, he has drawn an inspiration amongst various youngsters in terms of how one can face very challenging situations and where you need to be quick enough to really process and constructively deal with that situation.
Okay.
It cannot be a rash decision. It cannot be an abnormal, absurd decision.
Okay.
He has shown to the world how he acts in the most stressful situations on the pitch and turns it completely around.
Any example? Like, do you have anything in mind? Because we have a lot of iconic moments.
I would say that the Asia Cup, the last one that he won as a captain, where Bangladesh was supposed to win. There were the last three balls to be bowled by India.
Okay.
And they had just about 3 runs or something to score.
Yes,
it was very easy given.
Yeah, easy.
The whole ground was rooting for Bangladesh. And
yes.
It was given. Okay. MSD had he spoke to the bowler on a certain way, and he has very non-verbal body communication. You know, when he looks at him and says something, it was a fast bowler and he removed one of his gloves and he stood up close to the stumps for the first time. Normally for the fast bowler, he stands much far behind. He came close, which the batsman never realized what exactly was happening.
Right.
And he had one glove off. You know, with that one glove off, the bowler bowled that certain ball, which is going to be slightly away, but not a wide ball at the same time, but away from the batsman. It was not crossing because Dhoni was there to pick it up. And in any case, that last run had to be made by these guys,
yeah,
the last wicket. So anyway, Dhoni knew that this guy will run in any case.
Right.
He threw to the other side. It caught the ball and threw to the other side and they got him out. The Bangladeshi players were stunned as to how this whole mastermind worked in that nick of the moment. It was a transformation on the ground. It was a magical transformation. Nobody could believe their eyes.
True.
That is Dhoni, and there are infinite number of instances where Dhoni has really done that. And it is all up to his ability to think clearly.
In more critical crisis situation?
Crisis situations, how he is, first of all, optimistic, can do. We can still pull off a victory. That can do attitude. Second thing is problem solving and high emotional situation. Problem solving, keeping yourself constructively deal with that emotions at that time. Convert it into an idea, convert it into a thought, convert it into something that can actually be done.
Right.
I
saw an interview where he actually talks about the process. Like, I focus on controllables, like what is best of a particular player at a particular moment, and focusing on the process, what yes. can be controlled.
He says clearly, if the process is right there, then the results have to come. The process is right.
Right.
And that's where it is. So that's MS Dhoni for you from sports.
Okay. EQ. Great. So anybody,
Actors, I would say my favorite from Bollywood, that is Shah Rukh Khan.
Okay. Any particular story behind it?
In one of the interviews that he has had, they were asking him, so what is your life's mission? You know, he would have said that I want to become the number one actor and all those things. But he didn't talk about any position that he wanted to achieve or anything else in terms of a tangible thing. He said, as long as I am going to be on stage, my only thing that I want to give to the people is entertainment, entertainment, and entertainment. He put all the meaning behind this only one word, and the clarity that he had got in his mind, rather than putting anything else and make it complicated, he said this. You know, I'm just saying this because this is talking about his ability to express himself with clarity, which reaches the audience so correctly. And that's exactly what he does. Whether it's a funny comedy movie or it's a serious movie like Chak De India, which he did so well, I think Shah Rukh Khan is absolutely great. He leads a team like KKR, Kolkata Knight Riders and IPL, and he's there for his people in the pavilion, along with them, cheering for them, and being with them when the chips are down. That is something where he shows that there is empathy, there is a great level of interpersonal relationship that he carries with every member of the team, down to the staff members, support staff members, in the way in which you connect yourself up with people. That again is another aspect of emotional intelligence, interpersonal relationship skills. It is an important contributor to EQ. How you are able to relate and connect with people, and how you are able to help them, support them, and also leverage them for any requirement. You know, it's not a one-way street.
Right.
In IPR, interpersonal relationship, it's about how you leverage your team membership in terms of making some of your goals also happen. So, Shah Rukh does it very well. There's the ability to motivate and inspire his people, and the ability to go with the people when the chips are down, when they have lost out a major match. He's there with them.
Okay. So, who's your favorite CEOs, like the organizations that you have mentored, or probably you look up to, the way leaders who have actually managed over a long period of time, facing a lot of...
I had one Mr. Laurie, Lauren Smith.
Okay.
And Mr. Selvan Sundaram.
Okay.
These are two. Lauren Smith was an Irish gentleman, and Selvan Sundaram was the MD of a major FMCG company under whom I was working as a director, HR. I mean, these two are different bosses during different times in different companies. Selvan, as a person, he had great emotional self-expression. He would really create excitement in people in telling them stories of how an event needs to happen or how a product launch needs to happen. He will put behind that such an exciting story that people get inspired. So his ability to use excitement in a very constructive, in a very the right way, the right doses of inspiration for people to really act on what he says. That is fabulous, number one. Number two is his optimism. He was always saying that, can we create an island of excellence in a sea of chaos? Sea of chaos is how this country is in terms of nothing you can be certain about. The traffic is bad, that is bad, this is bad. You cannot rely on a certain person, whether he will come on time the way he has committed to you or not. All these uncertainties are there. But within our company, within our controllables, can we be an island of excellence?
Okay.
An island of excellence in a sea of chaos. That was his frame.
Yeah, very good comparison.
Beautiful. Lauren Smith, an amazing man, an Irish gentleman, was the MD of our company in the oil and gas sector. His ability to deal with a diverse set of people was amazing. His communication, his emotional self-expression, during a very troubled time of the company was phenomenal. He took care of the sensitivities of all the people and managed the transition so well, purely because of how he was able to communicate very clearly what he wanted to communicate. I think these are two people who stand out to me as excellent leaders in EQ.
Okay. So we had like excellent discussion till now. Like we had a lot of nuggets about how Gen Z operates and like how empathy as an element plays a crucial role across different levels of the organization. Yeah. I have like this one question with which we will conclude this conversation. What is that few characters, like let's say I know you would have worked with a lot of leaders across different industry. So consider a young leader, like let's say somebody who is running a small team, like let's say 20 people, 30 people, a small company's founder, and a CEO is like whom you have mentioned, like let's say somebody who is leading a company with 5,000 people or even bigger, dealing like crores and billions of money. So what is the common things and what are the things that this guy can do to reach that level? Like I know certain principles or certain characteristics might remain common. Since you have seen a wide range of people in your career, like what do you think is very important for a small team's founder to build that team and make it into a huge company?
A few things. Let me start with ability to manage stakeholders, both external stakeholders and internal stakeholders. When you talk about external stakeholders, it's about the investors and the other agencies that are there outside of your organization, but having an impact on your business. That's the stakeholders. It could be financial institutions, it could be investors, it could be government. Internal stakeholders, purely how you manage your employees. Okay. When I say managing the employees, it's about your ability to make every employee feel that their role is a very critical role and their talent is being valued in the organization and they are being respected as human beings. Criticality of their role, the talent being valued, and they are respected as human beings. If you can put all these three principles together in terms of managing your people, you are there. You're absolutely there. Rest is your business strategy and all that stuff. That will all get done. Okay. But if you're able to manage your stakeholders, when I say manage your stakeholders, it means that you understand your stakeholder requirements, their needs, and their expectations. They're able to manage that. You're able to calibrate them. It's not that you need to do everything that they want.
Okay.
But you need to calibrate them correctly. You need to calibrate their expectations. Set their expectations right as to what you can do, what you cannot do. What are the risks and what are the mitigation factors? So constantly working on the risks and mitigation factors will help him do well in the business. Constantly working on giving these three factors to an individual will help him to be a great leader of people. And if you're a great leader of people and business coming both ways, I think you've done it.
Yeah, I think EQ plays a major role here.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's been a wonderful evening and I think thanks for the time again. And it was such an enlightening conversation. I hope our viewers would have liked it as well. So thank you so much for this. And if you'd like to tell anything final to our audience, who are mostly youngsters, your few words.
So thank you very much, Arjun, once again for this, giving this opportunity to talk about this important subject called EQ. I would only say that, the one distinct competitive advantage that you will have over anybody else in your life, whether it's personal or professional, is if you're able to understand and develop your own level of emotional intelligence. And there are enough and more material to read about it, to develop it, and you can continue to develop it right through your lifetimes. But start now. That's what I would say. And grow to become a great professional, a happy person in life, and a successful person the way you define success. And that's all I would wish for all of you. And all the very best.
Hi, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.